You're listening to audio from Hardin Baptist Church. For more audio content or other information about our church, please visit hardinbaptist.org.
Wow. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to Acts chapter 2. We're going to be reading verses 40 through 47 in just a moment. So excited to be here this morning on the first day of a brand new week, but I almost lost my voice worshiping this morning, so you'll have to let me transition here, excuse me, just for a few minutes. This morning, we're going to begin a three-part sermon series called All In. Myself, Corey, and Chris, over the next 3 weeks, will be challenging us as folks who attend Hardin Baptist Church to be all in with us here at the church. We're going to ask you to gather and connect with us. We're going to ask you to serve with us. And then we're going to ask you to give and go with us. And then on September 8th, after the holiday break, we're going to come back and begin a fall sermon series as we journey through two Old Testament books back to back, the book of Ezra and Nehemiah. And hopefully then you will join us this fall in restoring and rebuilding those things that God wants us to restore in our lives and those things that we need to rebuild as a society. So we are really, really excited. Can you imagine 3 years earlier being called by Jesus to follow him, and then 3 years later he dies on a cross, stays dead 3 days, rises again. Before he ascends back to heaven, he tells you and 119 other people, don't start doing what I've called you to do and commanded you to do until you receive the power from on high. And then when you receive the power, man, you start here and don't quit till you get way, way out there. And then all of a sudden, a few days later, you go from 120 people to 3,120 people in one day. Don't you ever tell me again Hardin's getting too big. We're not close to adding 3,000 people in one day. Amen. We're going to take a snapshot this morning of the early church and see some characteristics that we pray are here in our body at Hardin. And this morning, I've been assigned the topic of gathering and connecting. And I'm going to ask you to be all in gathering with us and connecting to us and with us. I'm going to give you three principles in just a moment on how to help us be who we're supposed to be as the body of Christ. Could we stand together right now and turn our attention to Acts chapter 2 and begin with verse 40? Please pray for me this morning, because normally I can take one subject and not get it in one message. The preaching pastors have asked me to take two subjects and quit on time. So would you pray for me as I try to do that this morning? So I'm going to need to keep the main thing this morning, and that is the main thing. Acts chapter 2, I love this passage of scripture. Look and see what the word of God says. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. Listen to this. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Let's bow to the Lord for prayer. Father, thank you for the opportunity this morning to gather in your presence on this first day of a brand new week. And we are so excited. Man, Father, here, we're just going to get the opportunity to listen to you speak to us through your word. And Father, don't let me get in the way. But Father, I pray that the thoughts we have this morning are thoughts that come from you, as we've tried to saturate ourselves over the last few days in this passage and around this thought of how we as a church can be all in. Not just part of us, all in. And two areas that we're called to be all in, is our gathering and our connect. Father, please help us this morning understand as a church how vital it is that we gather together, and how vital it is that when we gather together that we don't sit in isolation, but that we truly connect to some people, to some groups, to some ministry here in this body. Not so that we can do, but so we can be. And then so what we do can flow out of our being who we really are. Father, help me keep the main thing this morning. But Father, don't let the main thing be so general that we don't understand specifically how to be all in. Father, I praise you and thank you for this opportunity this morning. It's in your precious Son's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Have any of you ever tried to take a group picture? Is that one of the most difficult things in life to do? Wow. Can you imagine the picture that the book of Acts reveals to us of the first church? Shortly after 3,000 new believers were baptized and added to the church. Luke tells us when he takes this early snapshot of the church that the church was devoted. Now, this word devoted is where we're getting the series title, All In. Because I think you'll agree with me if you know what it means to be all in. You can't be all in unless you're devoted. And if you're devoted, you will be all in to whatever you are devoted to. When you're all in to what you're into, you'll be devoted to it. These words interchange. Now, the Bible tells us that the early church was devoted to four things: the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and the prayers. Notice the definite article, the, in front of each of these four things. Now this morning, because my assignment is asking us to be all in when it comes to gathering and connected, we're not going to talk about being devoted to the apostles' doctrine. We're not going to be talking about being devoted to breaking of bread. We're not going to be talking about devoted to prayer. But we want to talk about being devoted to the fellowship. Now, before we talk about being devoted to the fellowship, let's examine what it means to be devoted. Let's examine what it means to be all in. If you and I were to look up the word devoted in an English dictionary, which I have, it would say this: to give up something in order to obtain something else. So with the thought of being devoted is this thought: if you're devoted, you're being devoted so that you can gain something, but in order to gain something, whatever it is you're wanting to gain, it's going to cost you something in another area. The Greek word that our English word devoted is actually trying to capture here means to be in hot pursuit of something, and you're pursuing it intently. You're pursuing it with great effort. So that's what we're talking about when we're talking about asking you to be all in with us. We're asking you to pursue your relationship with us with great effort, with great intensity. Now we want to share with you, if you do this, if you get all in with us, there's going to be a positive side to this. There's going to be a great reward to you as you get all in. But I'll be honest with you, if you're really going to get the reward of being all in with us, it's going to cost you something. If you're not all in, you'll not be able to get all in doing what you're doing right now, because there's some things in your life that's keeping you from being all in with us, from being devoted to the fellowship. Does that make sense? I don't hear this word devoted used very often, but the few times I do hear it used, and I hadn't heard it in a while, it's usually this context. A group of guys will be together, they've planned to go somewhere, do something, and all of a sudden they look around and somebody recognizes one of the men they thought was going to show up is not there. And somebody will say, "Where's so-and-so?" And somebody else will quickly will say, "Well, you know him, he's devoted to his wife." And everybody goes, "Oh." Because the other guys in the group don't get it. See, they've all gathered to go fishing. They've all gathered to play golf. They've all gathered to go to a ball game. And that's going to be great reward to them. But there's one guy in the group who didn't show up, who's not going to get the reward because he's not devoted to fishing. He's not devoted to golf. He's not devoted to the trip. He's devoted to the wife. And here's what that one guy knows. Wow. He's going to get a reward in being devoted to his wife that's worth every bit of what he's having to give up and going fishing, playing golf, going on the trip. Tell me you got that. Yeah. See, if you're going to be devoted to something, whatever you're devoted to is going to take priority in your life. See, it's possible to pursue a lot of things, but if you're pursuing a lot of things, you will not pursue a lot of things intently. And you can't be devoted to a lot of things, because when you pursue a lot of things, that intensity level is just not there. So what we're calling you to this morning is to be all in, to be devoted to the fellowship. So here's what we're going to ask you to consider over the next 3 weeks, being all in. Now, we don't want you to make a decision yet, because just like Jesus, we want you to know what you're getting into before you make a decision. Did you ever notice how Jesus didn't trick people into making commitments? He just kind of told people right up front what it was going to cost them. And without any pressure, without any motivational techniques, without any twisting of the arm, he just said, consider. And that's what we want you to do. Consider being all in with us. As our college student comes back, as our kids get back in school, as our life normalizes, so to speak, after summer, as a Christian who serves God through the Hardin Baptist Church, we want you to consider being all in when this three-week sermon series is over. Now, we not only want you to be devoted, we want you to be an active owner. We want you to take ownership. I hope you realize that as a member of this church, you have a share in this church. Now, I'm going to be totally honest with you. Your share is a little diluted if you were a shareholder 40 years ago. Because if you're a shareholder 40 years ago, you had about 1/80th of this church. Now you've just got about 1 whatever it is of this church. But I hope you understand that spiritually, your share is as valuable today as it's ever been. And I'd like for you to say and believe, as we look around us in the time we're ministering to, and our share is probably more valuable than it's ever been. Agree with me? Now listen to what Luke says. Luke says the early church was all into the fellowship. I think you know this word fellowship is that Greek word koinonia, but we've just kind of taken koinonia into our English language, and churches are called that. There's ministries called that. There's blog posts that use that name. There's books written with the title koinonia, so everybody knows what koinonia is. It basically means to have in common. If you've been with me through the years at Hardin, you know that we've seen the progression of how this word was used in society, but especially how it was used in the New Testament day. For see, this word started out meaning to have in common, and it talked about companionship. It talked about two people who were companions because they had a lot of things in common. And then this word began to take on the note, not just of companionship between a few people, but it began to take on the characteristic of a community, because a certain community had a lot of things in common, so it bound them together as a community of people. But by the time Jesus began to minister, and by the time the church was established and New Testament writers began to write letters to the churches, this word koinonia came to mean partnership, a partnership. Matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, the Bible says, God is faithful, and he has called us into fellowship, or the partnership of his Son, Jesus Christ. Paul writing to the church of Corinth, talking about the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ. I think you understand that what that's talking about is you've been called into the community. You've been called into the partnership. You've been called into the church of Jesus Christ. Everybody agree? Don't you listen to this? Your faith is personal, but it's not private. Please let that sink in just a moment. We are living in an age where more and more people are believing their faith is personal and private. And it's not my business about your faith, and it's not your business about my faith. That's a lie. Faith is personal and public. Amen? When you come to faith in Jesus Christ, when I came to faith in Jesus Christ, my faith was personal, but it was never meant to be private. It was meant to be public. It was meant for me to be called into a community of believers, to be part of a body that is the body of Christ in this community. Therefore, I am a member of a body. I'm a member of the fellowship. I'm a member of the church. I'm an associate. I'm a fellow partner. There's a big difference in owning something and being the owner and just being the person who shows up to do a job. Everybody agree? Responsibility changes dramatically when you become an owner. And here's what we want to ask you to do at Hardin: to take your share seriously and realize you're an owner. Therefore, you and I together under God are responsible for us being who God's called us to be and doing what God's called us to. Church is not a place we go. Church is who we are. Please tell me you agree. Have you noticed when we read this description, this picture of the early church, they didn't seem to do things as individuals. They seemed to do things together. They shared possessions together. Now, this may not be big to you, but it's big to me. Bible even says day by day when they went to the temple together. You ever noticed how when you go out with other couples, have you noticed when one girl goes to the bathroom, all the other girls in the group have to go to the bathroom too? I've never figured that one out. We guys don't do that, but ladies do. Please hear me. You and I are wired by God to want to do life together. So here's what we want to ask you to be all in. We want you to gather together with us, and we want you to connect together with us. I know to some people this is old-fashioned. It doesn't work anymore. But we still believe if we're going to be a biblical church in our modern society, we still have to do things together. Now, to me, I could be wrong here, but this was revolutionary. See, I have the picture that in the Old Testament when somebody went to the temple, you went to the temple when you blew it. Went out backyard, got the lamb, got the goat, brought it to the priest, dealt with what was wrong, and gave that to him, and he offered a sacrifice for you, correct? So when the Bible talks about day by day going to the temple, please understand, the Jewish people didn't go day by day to the temple together. They went day by day to the temple individually. But now all of a sudden you have a church, a group of people whose sins have been forgiven, so there's no need to go and offer a sacrifice. But guess what the early church did? They still went to the temple, but when they went to the temple, they went to the temple together. I hope I'm not reading too much into this, but I just see the early church saying, wow, that temple is big enough for all of us to gather together at it. So why don't we just all go there together and celebrate what God's done for us in Christ and let other people see us celebrating our new life in Christ together. Wow. Anybody see that? I mean, you still do what you're doing at home in your private devotions, but listen. There's a public aspect of being a Christian. And what we want to do here at Hardin is we want to make sure we understand that if we're going to be all in, we're going to be all in to gathering together in large group celebration, gathering together in some small group discipleship, and gathering together for some small group ministries. And we need you to gather. Gather to celebrate with us. Now, right now, we have three large group celebrations, the beginning of every first day of the week, and we want to be all in on this thought. If I'm an owner of the body, and I'm part of the body, when the body gets together to celebrate publicly, I want to be there, and I am going to be there, unless there is a really good reason for me not to be there. Amen? Would you just consider this? Now, I want to tell you what's happening nationally. Church attendance is on the decline. Are y'all aware of that? But have y'all noticed this? Group attendance is on the decline everywhere. I was sitting there last night watching on television as I was studying the night race at Bristol. I was there one time. Had to park 10 miles away and walk 2 hours. Had one of the top row seats, which if you got a ticket at Bristol and you got the top row, it doesn't get any better than that. And when I got to my seat, couldn't hardly sit down because of so many people there. I watched that race last night, and it was a third empty. Now, have you seen the Kentucky Speedway race? They had people that looked like fans in the stand so that when it showed on TV, you wouldn't realize how few people were there. Been to a football or baseball game lately? Now I know what you're saying. Brother Ricky, why would we go to a large group event when we could sit in our living room and watch it on HD TV? Exactly my point. Culture through television and internet The World Wide Web is programming us to isolate ourselves from groups of people. Why go somewhere else when you can have it in your own very home? Wow. And if we're not careful, this is what's happening in the church. There's no longer a belief that we, the church, really need to get together for large group celebration. Chris Allen sent me an article. I liked the article, and so I just looked the guy up, started reading some of his other articles, and a guy gave 10 reasons on why church attendance is in decline in America. And you know what the number one reason is? Affluency. Now think about this. 30 years ago, most of us didn't have enough money to do anything else on Sunday except go to church. It was the best show in town. I mean, we could only get 3, 6, and 12 in this area. And even Brother Ricky was as good as most of those guys on 3, 6, and 12. So this was the place to be. All of us was from this area. All of our family lived here. We were so poor, we couldn't go on a vacation once every 2 or 3 years. Agreed? And look at us now. Now, I'm not saying being affluent's wrong or a sin. I'm just saying we got to be careful. Because with affluency, we have a whole lot more options now on what to do. And we Baptists, I just want to tell you, we're not as poor as we think we are anymore. Since some of the other, I will not name them, denomination has come along, we've moved up a few socioeconomic levels, and all of a sudden we have options. Be careful. That new job, that new investment that you are so going to use for the glory of God, be careful to make sure it's not pulling you away from your ownership in the only group that matters eternally. Right now doesn't count right now. Right now counts forever. I don't hurt anybody's feelings, but this article said the number two reason is a higher focus on kids' activities. Man, if we're not careful, we as parents are focusing much of our life on what our kids want to do. And there's some folks out there promoting themselves, and we're following along with the promotion. And many of us aren't just doing what we're doing now as a family. We're doing what we're doing now for our kids. And we're giving control of our kids to somebody else. And we're just sitting in the stands, watching. Not saying it's wrong to have activities with the kids, but be careful. It can keep us from being all in. Thirdly, I think this hits hard. We're a mobile society now. We're a mobile church now. We live in one of the best places to live in the world. Do you not agree? And with our affluency and with modern mobility, it's real easy to get off on a Friday and be several hundred miles away and just have every week a two-day event. And we don't get back home to just in time to get to bed, to start doing what we do 5 days a week, and that's work, so that we can have 2 days for ourselves. And some of us, if we're not careful, will neglect our ownership in being a part of the body of Christ. I won't hurt anybody's feelings here, but listen. Have you noticed a lot of us now go to the doctor, and before we get to the doctor, we tell the doctors what's wrong with us because we've already checked out our diagnosis on the internet. Amen? All of my doctor friends are saying, am I right, Brian? Whoa, yeah! We're trusting people we don't even know to tell us wrong, what's wrong with us. And then we're trying to tell the man who spent his whole life studying to help us what's wrong with us, and then we doubt what he or she says. And that's what we're doing online spiritually. Many of us are self-diagnosing ourselves spiritually. Therefore, the more we do this, we just don't see the need of gathering together. Hey, supplement what we do at Hardin all you want, but please don't let it take the place of you being offline, not online. Online is impersonal. Offline, face-to-face, in a group of people. Celebrating who God is and what God's done for us. It just starts the first day of the week outright. So let's be all in. Let's not just be all in to the large group. Let's be all in to a small group. Hey guys, I want to tell you a trend that's happening here at this church, and you better listen to me. There's a trend in this church for some of us just to be into the large group, and then we go home and we're not getting involved in any small group discipleship. I don't think that's wise. I think there needs to be some accountability of us discipling with other people and being accountable to those other people. And I'm telling you, if you're not careful, And you only gather in large group. Because see, in large group, it's real easy not to connect. It's real easy to stay an individual. It's real easy for it to be all about me. It's real easy for me to pick and choose the part I want and spit out the rest and just say, well, I just disagree with Brother Ricky and going back home and going back to your life. But when you're in that small group, there's just some accountability. So we don't want you to just gather in large group at 7:50 or 9:15 or 10:40. We want you to think seriously about a small group discipleship. It can be on Sunday morning. It can be during the week. It can be on Wednesday night. There's a lot of small group opportunities for you to be discipled here at Heart. But then we want you to ask to do this too. If you're going to really be all in with us, we want you to gather also to minister. We want you to gather to minister. I'm talking about to other people. No thought of you. No thought of how hard this is. No thought about how this isn't fun. But you pour yourself into a ministry for other people. And it's just kind of cool here at Hardin, I think. You guys do realize, I know I get paid, but y'all do realize every Sunday, I do this three times, right? You know what I really think? I really think if I ever retired from being pastor here, hope I didn't discourage you by saying I'm not going to. You know what I think I'd do? I really mean this. I think I'd come to one of the large group services, then go one of the small group discipleship groups, and then I think I would serve at the other hour. I really do. Since I'm an early person, I think I'd probably come to the 7:50 worship service, think I'd go to a small group the next hour, and then at 10:40 in that service where we have all those little babies and all those little children. I mean, can I be honest with you? I love EBK a whole bunch, and I love Crowder a whole bunch, and I love Finley a whole bunch, and I love Mother. What's his name? Garnet. I love him a whole lot, too. Amen? Why couldn't I love somebody else's just as much? I mean, can I be honest with you? I like Jack and Jay a whole lot, too. That's my sister's grandkids. You do realize this, right? Most of the kids are in at the 10:40 hour or the 9:15 hour. You do know they're your brother and sister's kids. Still look at them as strangers. Why don't we look at them as family? Does that make sense? Somebody correct me if I'm wrong here, but did not the guy we're following say it's more blessed to what? Give than to what? Receive. Did he not say, I didn't come to be served, but to serve and give my life a ransom for many? We're Christians following Christ. He was all in. We should be all in too. Amen? But listen, when we gather, whoa, I got, is that 24 seconds? 22, 21, 20, 19, 18. They are not going to let me preach next Sunday. I want y'all to know I'm finished this sermon, so please hear me. Don't just gather, connect. Connect. I hear people all the time say, man, I just can't connect at Hardin because we're just too big. Are you kidding me? There's a word I want to use that I'm not going to use because it used to be a good word, but now it's a bad word. So I'm going to use this word. That's foolishness. I promise you this. If we went to a church of 50 people, we wouldn't have a relationship with all 50 people in that church. If we went to a church of 150, we wouldn't have a relationship with all 150 people in that church. Satan is so crafty to try to tell you and I. Read a study a few years ago. You only need 8 healthy relationships in a church. So why don't we just do this? Why don't you start connecting to the people that you worship with in large group celebration? Please tell me you could name 4 or 5 people here, right? Look at me. Then let's go to a small group discipleship and get 4 or 5 people. And I promise you this, if you get in a ministry, you'll know everybody in the ministry. And next thing you know, you're going to be connected to about 10, 12, 15 people. And that's what we need you to do. Now, listen to me. A few years ago, you remember this, I shared this with you, I want to reshare it with you. A few years ago, I was at the State Fair, and while I was at the State Fair, which is starting this week, I did a study about glue. I wasn't that bored, but I just wanted to study about the nature of glue. Glue has 2 properties, adhesion and cohesion. How many of you know that? You know that, right? A couple of weeks ago, we started remodeling our bathroom. Jeff Green from this church came over and helped me tear everything out. When we started tearing everything out, he asked me what I was doing in the shower. I told him. He said, well, then you need to go get some glue. And he told me the specific kind to get because in my house, I have the beige plumbing, which is CPVC. Is that right? Not the white, which is PVC. And he wanted me to get this special glue. So I went and got the special glue. And we got under the house and we cut the water lines because we were taking out the sinks and the bathtub and the shower. And then we was going to glue it back together. Now, when I put the glue on the fittings, I knew the glue would hold. Why? Because the glue I bought had both adhesive and cohesive property. Now, let me explain this to you if you don't know. When you're studying about glue, glue has to have an ability to stick to whatever you're sticking it to. Agreed? But at the same time it's sticking to something else, it's got to stick to itself. Does that make sense? So glue has an ability called adhesive where it sticks to something else, but at the same time that it's sticking to something else, it's sticking to itself. In other words, it's holding itself together. And when you glue something together, there's a chemical reaction that takes place. And when that chemical reaction takes place, here's what happens. When Jeff and I put the PVC glue on the PVC pipe, for a brief instant, there was a chemical reaction to where actually that glue caused this fitting and this fitting to melt a little bit. And when they melted, they shared properties and they were glued together. And when they glued together, the connection held. Why? Because that adhesive property of that glue was so strong that it stuck. But now, when you turn the water on and you get that pressure on, not only does the glue have to stick to what you glued it to, the glue has to stick to itself. Because if the glue disintegrates, then the pipe will break. Does everybody understand that simple concept? Now, here's my 3 points. You need to be devoted, you need to be an active owner, and you need to get sticky. Because some of us aren't sticky enough. We just have trouble sticking with people. We have trouble connecting to people. Here's why we have trouble connecting with people. Because we don't love like we should. We don't accept like we should. We don't forgive like we should. And we don't encourage like we should. Amen? Come on, let's be honest. How many of us haven't stuck to somebody in the church because the reason we didn't stick to them is because we don't accept them. We don't really love them. We haven't forgiven them for what they did to whoever they did it to. And so when we meet them, we never try to be an encouragement to them. We just wait for them to rain on our parade. Come on, see a show of hands. That's you. You know who you're talking about. God help us. Somebody tell me who we're following here at Hardin. We're following Christ. And he loved us. He forgave us. He accepted us. He encourages us. And can I be honest with you? He's stuck to me. And he just will not let go of me. What would happen if we grabbed a hold of somebody like that and just stuck to them in large group, small group, whether it be discipleship or ministry? Now, there's been a few times where I've used bubble gum to stick something together. Amen? Can I just say bubble gum will stick to certain things really good? But bubble gum doesn't hold together very good. You can just break it apart. So listen to me. Some of us have the ability to stick to other people, but when sticking to the other people, here's where we struggle. It's not there wasn't a chemical bond that took place, a spiritual bond that took place. It's just through time, we disintegrate ourselves. We don't hold ourselves together. That's called cohesion. Amen? 2 properties to cohesion. Be holy and be humble. Be holy and be humble. If you're going to get all in with us, you've got to be holy. And some of us are not holy. We are not set apart from the world. We look just like the world. And that's why you struggle to get connected. And then we need to be humble. When you're humble, you don't have any expectations. So you're not going to fall apart because of what somebody else done to you. No. God gives me an ability to be who I am at all times because of my relationship with him. Therefore, if he can handle me, I can handle you. Amen? Now, I'm not going to ask you to do anything today. I'm going to ask you to consider being all in. But if you'd like to do something today, when we go out into the foyer, we got some cards to help you get connected. A few years ago, we hired a full-time pastor named Chris Allen to help us get connected. Please, if you're sitting here and you're not connected and you want to know how to get connected to this body other than the 750 worship service, talk to Chris Allen. I know I'm over time, but can I make one more comment? How many of you are like me and remember when we used to go to service station? How many remember service stations? I'm talking about convenience stores. I'm talking about service stations. Remember, you pulled your vehicle in, little guy ran out, little girl ran out, asked you what flavor you wanted, put the nozzle in your car, while they were filling up your gas tank, they washed your windows, raised the hood, checked your oil. Jason, you remember those days? You done some of that, didn't you, brother? Any of you remember those days? Okay. I don't know of any of those left, do you? Now you go to a convenience store. Pull your car up, you pump your own gas, choose your own flavor, buy your own milk, go to the store, they will take your money. That's all they do. They don't pack your milk and bread and cereal and candy bar to the car for you. Amen? Maybe we need to quit calling this a worship service. Because some of us have the ideal somebody else is doing it all for us. No. No. Each one of us has got to be the owner of the church if we're going to be who God wants us to be. Amen?
You're listening to audio from Hardin Baptist Church. For more audio content or other information about our church, please visit hardinbaptist.org.